Well, aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. You know, I will tell you something about your preacher. I worship in here. But if I ever cut loose like I really can cut loose, it'd scare all y'all. But I really worship outside here more than I worship here because I didn't really think I'd scare you. But I've been encouraging myself this week. A lot of discouragement out there. You said, how do you encourage yourself? Well, every once in a while, I'll plug up my own preacher because I do trust him. And then every once in a while, I get a song on my heart. I've had one on my heart all week. I've listened to 10 different people do it. And so I asked Lois. Lois, I believe she can do this song for me. I asked her, man, out of the blue yesterday. I asked Ted, asked her if she could sing this song. Now, if y'all don't get anything about it, that's all right. But here's the title. She's going to do it. And she don't do it good, I'm going to sing it. But think about this. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Lois did.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my
last little area. I shall never, you know. Can I help you? Come on. Let's do it. Come on.
I shall
I'm not a Pentecostal tongue talker, because if I was, I'd be doing it right now. Woo! That ought to get a hold of somebody. Whew. Turn your Bibles. Your pastor has a thought. I got the thought before I got the message. 2 Samuel chapter 9. A real old story. Chad loves to ask the question to me. Chad, I'll answer today. What, Pastor Smith, what is your favorite Old Testament story? Then he'll ask me what my favorite New Testament story is. My favorite Old Testament story I'm going to preach on this morning. And I'm going to magnify a thought. This is the thought I've had all week. If it were not for grace.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah.
I can't get beyond that this morning. It's engulfed me a little bit. I'm kind of emotional about this morning. I'll read you the story and do everything I can to get there. 2 Samuel 9, if you're there, say amen. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, some say Ziba. I've heard it both ways. And when they had called him unto David, the king said, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto him, the king, Jonathan, yet had a son who is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. The king, David, sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and shall eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look such a dead dog as I am? What? I'll stop there. I'm going to give you the rest of it in a moment. If it were not for grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord hath promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Now the songwriter sent it like this: marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Whoa, dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there's a flowing crimson tide, brighter than the snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? I'm glad it's by the grace of God this morning. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Somebody help me preach this morning. The songs we've heard this morning point to the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God I'll never go into hell. It is because of the grace of God I will get to go to heaven. Woo! It's unmerited favor. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. I can never get used to grace. I can never get over grace. I can never hear too much about grace. I can't speak too much about grace. There's a message I want to talk to you about, and it is, if it were not for grace. Whew. Oh, I'm going to preach on. There's a famous TV preacher. I ain't going to tell you who he is because I'll get mad if I mention his name. Said this on national TV. He said, I don't preach on the Old Testament because you can't find grace there. Well, I think he's an idiot. Because my Bible said in Genesis 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. My Bible said when little old Gideon was hiding out behind the wine press. Well, glory. See, God's grace sees what you are when you don't even know what you are. He was a scaredy cat. And you know what God said? Oh, mighty man of valor, you have found grace in my sight. Well, glory. And I want to talk to you. You said, how far does grace go back? It goes all the way back to God. The story I'm going to preach on to you today. Hey, by the way, it's got grace all over it, but grace is not mentioned. It's got grace all in it, and grace is not mentioned. But I want to talk to you about if it were not for grace. Well, let me just stop a minute. Talon McLean Where would you be this morning if it were not for grace? Henry Kim Whittington, the second worst sinner in the church. Where would you be this morning if it were not for grace? Randy Thomas, where would you be this morning if it were not for grace? Dana Warndorf, or Dana Randolph, I was thinking about an old member head. Where would you be if it were not for grace? One of our new members, Bill Winkler, where would you be this morning if it wasn't for grace? I'll tell you where we'd be. We'd be in hell this morning. We'd be hell bound this morning. But we're on our way to heaven. We're set free. We're children of God. We're adopted. I'll give you four things that your pastor found this passage. First of all, this one right here. Tyler, if I tell you to get up and run, I might just want you to run around about 10 laps. This one right here in verse number 1 has got me stirred up. I want you to notice, first of all, number 1, if it were not for grace. Jeremy, this has got me. The ruler's desire. Who was the ruler? It was David. David was the second king of Israel. He was there because God rejected Saul. He was there because he was ready. He was ready. He was the slingshot thrower. He was a giant killer. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was mistreated by Saul. Saul was bitter. He's now overtook the throne. And you know what his desire was? You always decide what the ruler's desire was. Is there anybody? Is there anybody out there yet in the house of Saul I can show kindness to? I see two or three things there. First of all, I see a determined look. I want you to know something. All y'all, Roger, if you had your lungs today, I was going to have you sing, "He Came to Me." I want you to know a determined look. It was King David that looked for somebody in the house of Saul. I want all y'all to know, you weren't looking for God. But he sure was looking for you. You didn't desire God, but he sure does desire you. You didn't want God, but God sure did enough want you. That right there ought to make us all just stop and say, "Whoopee! Woohoo! Hallelujah! Hot dog!" Then I see a driving love that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake. But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our salvation began with God. His desire to save us. When my fate, Chad, was in the judge's hands, God put it in Jesus's nail-scarred hands. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm going to think about this a minute. I'm beside myself. Why would God want this old bartender's boy, sold out to slavery of sin, ain't worth nothing, but God desired to save me, call me to preach, put me in as pastor of the greatest church in America? You said, what is that? There ain't nothing can explain that but one thing, grace. Man, I'm trying my best to slow down. I got my heart pill. I may have to pull my heart pill out and take it, Chad. I mean that. Y'all hold on a minute, okay? You say, you're crazier than a bed bug. I'm going to do this, okay. Because see, if I don't do it, there's going to be a machine go off at my house tonight. Woo! Now I'm good. Secondly, I bet you ain't never seen nobody take a heart pill while I preach. I ain't had no heart problems. I just want not to have. Okay. I know how much preaches on me, and I'm about ready to blow this thing out now. Secondly, I see a new ruins dilemma. He said, is there anybody left of the of Saul? And there was one. Ziba said, there's one, the son of Jonathan. You know who he is, David. You remember when Abner was killed and everybody was going to destroy everybody of the house of Saul? There was a little nurse. I'm about to get attention here. There was a little nurse that got little Mephibosheth, who was 5 years old. And she got him, and she picked him up to try to keep him from getting killed. And she fell. And Mephibosheth fell and was lame. And was permanently lame. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. When God found you, he didn't find you doing jumping jacks. He didn't find you on the top of the world. He found you as a depraved sinner that could not make his way to God, who was lame from the birth. Somebody help me preach. I'm talking about a permanent lameness by a past fall. I'm talking about a problematic function. That's us. When we were born messed up. We were messed up because of a previous fall. Whew. We couldn't get around very well. Not only was there a permanent lameness, he was in a poor location. You know where he was? He was down there in Lodibar. He said, what's Lodibar mean? It means a place of no pasture. No grass, no living thing, no moisture, no peace, no satisfaction. A place where drugs are used. A place where drunkenness avails. A place where pornography is. A place where folks can't get no help. Somebody help me. There's some of you here, a lot of you folks have religion without righteousness. There's a whole lot of good going on, but there ain't no grace. We talk a lot about the family, but we don't talk much about faith. We talk about tradition, but we don't bring much truth. That's where we were. We talk a lot about church, but we don't talk much about Christ. And a probable loneliness. Let me see if I can illustrate it. Here he was, Lois. They put him in the house of Maker. Shriveled up. Scared to death. Thinking any moment somebody is going to kill the last remaining ancestor of Saul. He is there frightened. He is there in gloom. He is there in hopelessness. He is there in helplessness. He's there where nobody can reach him. He was there where nobody even cared for him. But I am glad that when we get where nobody wants us and nobody cares for us and nobody can reach us, there's a God yonder in heaven that has a desire to bring you to him. Somebody help me preach. You said, Preacher Smith, I wasn't that bad. Yes, you were. You were wicked. You were on your way to hell. You were depraved. You were helpless. There ain't nothing you could do to save yourself. But aren't you glad there was a ruler, there was a God that desired for you to be saved? Number three. Am I doing all right, Chad? I see a remarkable demonstration. Look at verse 3. And the king said, aren't you glad the king said something? Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And I like this. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar. I like this. In verse 5, the king sent and fetched. Fetched him out of the house. A remarkable demonstration. I see, number one, a committed finding. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't find God. God found you. To be quite honest, I wasn't even looking for him. Really didn't want much to do with him. I kind of was trying to stay away from his kind. But aren't you glad? On a committed finding. See, God didn't need no GPS. And he didn't need Bill Gates to shoot some kind of thing in him to track me. God already knew where I was. And you know what he done? He sent his servant. I'm about ready to get happy here. I want all y'all to look at me right now. Ain't none of you had ever got saved if it wasn't for God sending his servant, the Holy Spirit, to come down and fetch you out of Lodibar. Somebody help me preach. Whew. A committed finding. God found where I was. God found that little bus girl. God found you in your pornography. God found you when you were pushing them drugs in your veins. God found you when you were on your last drink. God found you when nobody else could find you. God was looking for you. Then number two under that, I see a capable fetching. By the way, religion couldn't catch me. Baptism couldn't catch me. Morality couldn't catch me. Oil on my head couldn't help me. The Pope couldn't help me. Muhammad couldn't help me. But I am glad for Jesus. I'd love to say. Let me count give you some more preaching. I can't hardly stand myself this morning. Some of you are saying, you me either. Then I see a compassionate favor. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. I'm looking at a loving bestowal. A legitimate behalf. Can I tell you something? Do you know why God saved you? Not for your sake. Look at me. It wasn't for your sake. He saved you for Jesus' sake. And you know what I am? I'm a part of the bride. Somebody help me. One of these days I'm going to get married. And they're going to have a marriage. But you know what? This pandemic has been the wildest thing I've ever seen. I have married more people this year and buried more than I ever have in my ministry. It's the wildest thing I ever seen. And I was thinking, when I took part in Tim's marriage yesterday, after I got done, and I knew I was going to preach on this, I sat down and I thought, one of these days, I want to jump off here so bad. One of these days, I'm going to be married to Christ. Ring's going to be put on my finger. Whoop! And then, you know, they had that place decked out up there. Craig, you done got them all spoiled. That thing was pretty up there, and they had a supper. And I want you to know it was grand, but it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing like a supper that you and I are going to spend. And by the way, they won't say grace till you and I get there. Somebody's helped me preach. Then I want you to notice verse 8. This is a little West Virginian, so don't get shook up. I see a consequential flabbergasting. How many knows what it means to be flabbergasted? Right, look at me. How many knows the word flabbergasting? Three of you? Knuckleheads. What that is, you can't believe what just happened. I have been saved 47 years, and I can't believe it. I can't believe that a God would come and fetch me out of my loneliness and my lostness and bring me to Him. I still can't believe it. I'm still amazed at what God done for me. Whew. Well, hallelujah. And I want you to know something. He fell down at the feet of David. I see a worshiping posture. Whew. Then I see a woeful perspective. You know, can I say something? I don't want to be ugly. I'm doing so good to be nice today. Can I tell you an indictment on some of you this morning? Can I say something bad about you? Some of you forgot where God brought you. I am flabbergasted that God would take me from that barroom atmosphere and make me a child of the King. I want you to know something. The only thing I can do is get on my knees and bow and tell Him the truth about me. You know what I'll tell you? You know why I told Him when I got saved? I told Him the truth about me. I'm an old dog. I'm an old lost sinner. I'm hell deserved. I ought to be burning and frying in hell. But You love me. Thank You. Go ahead and shout it out. I don't care. If you're feeling something, let it out. We ought to let it out. We ought to let it out. Whew. All right, number four. Whew. I ain't preached this hard in months. Man, I had jaw surgery and everything else. I think this thing in me was about ready to fall off. I'm preaching so hard. I got a nail they put in my jaw, and it's loose right now. I think it's ready to come out. If it comes out, I want it to hit Ken right on top of the head. Now listen to me. Lastly, I'm done. Notice the rich display. What do you think? Come on now. What do you think? He was down in Lodibar. And the king fetched him. You know, I think Mephibosheth probably said this to Ziba. You don't have to take me in the palace. Just let me look at the gates. Just let me look at the city. I ain't worthy to get in there. I'm just thankful to be a part of this. Listen, I ain't done yet. Four things. Richly displayed. He had a restored possession. Look what it says. And David said unto him, fear not, for I show you kindness for Jonathan's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. What was lost in the first Adam was brought back. Somebody help me. By the last Adam. That ain't all. And then he made him a royal position. You're a child of the king. Whew. Now I want you to know, when I got saved, I was adopted into a royal family. Whew. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Think about that. I'm richer than Bill Gates. He couldn't shine my shoes. I'm a child of the king. I have a royal position. I stand justified. Whew. Listen, I got rightful permission. You know what I can do? I can ask Ziba anything that I want, and he'll get it for me. I can come to God through the Holy Ghost and ask him for anything I need, and my God will supply it. I ain't done. I'm almost. And then I got regular provision. I get to eat at the king's table continually. How many of you are right happy that you're a child of God? How many of you can think of one thing right now other than salvation God's done for you? Wave at me. How about them kids you got and grandkids? How about having a saved home? How about not being a bum but have it been a blessing? Woo! And you think, you know, I know what David means now when he said, I was young and I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You know what amazes me? I'm 69 years old. Hey, Sue, I'm not old as you are, though. I just thought I'd pick on you. You're welcome. We're 69, Sue. You'll be 70 before I am. And you know what, Sue? This 69-year-old boy, God is still providing for me. He ain't left me off on the hook. He's still taking care. You know, there's about half this church ought to get up shouting. Look what all God's done for us, church. Paid the church off. We took a joyride on a new bus. We're thinking about doing something else. You said, what in the world? Who's doing this for y'all? It sure ain't because of John Smith's intellect. It ain't because of any deacon board. It's because of a God who is faithful to his word that will provide for us as long as his children are doing what we should. Somebody help me, please. Whew. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. And you'd think I'd preach a short sermon getting ready to leave. I'm leaving this afternoon. Tyler's preaching tonight. You say, where are you going, to the beach? No, they got virus down there. I'm going to go find me a lake house and get on a boat and catch me a catfish. But I just thought about it. That's a day I didn't have money to get out of town with. That's a day when I didn't have enough to take care of my bills. But I got found a God who's so rich. It's so wonderful. Who desired me. Oh, I still can't get over that. And all I can say, if it were not for grace, will you repeat that with me? If it were not for grace, where would I be? Bow your head with me. Dusty, you get ready. Kiss your wife. How many of you right now know if you died today, you know you've been saved by grace? Raise your hand. Testify, will you? Testify for me. Thank you. How many of you have never been saved? You say, I want to be saved before I die and go to hell. I want that, what you preached on. Anybody here not saved? Raise your hand. Raise them up. Raise them up. I think everybody is. But I'll tell you what, how many of you saved and you're so glad about it, you'll come around the altar and thank Jesus again for saving you? Won't you just, how many of you just come up here and worship around a little bit? Stand with me. Chad's going to take the invitation.